10, if you're going to follow along. I'm not going to actually read the passage. It's actually 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through verses 13, actually. And I'll read some of these verses as we go along. Last Sunday, Joe said, you ought to preach on Noah. And I said, I'm planning on it. I already have two messages concerning Noah, but this passage concerning the Queen of Sheba and Solomon has been on my mind even before that. And though I was planning on starting with Noah, I just couldn't get away from this one, so we'll go to this one first. I just want to look at the Queen of Sheba and Solomon. Now, what I want to do for the next several Sundays is talk about some of the allegories in the Scripture. What is an allegory? Now, we know it's a valid thing because the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says that there are allegories. Therefore, it is valid. The one thing I fear, though, is that men are prone to look to the allegory for truth rather than trying to express the truth by the allegory.
Exactly. That's it.
And you got to be careful of that. Mm-hmm. Because you can make circumstances and events that are recorded in Scripture mean and say just about anything you want. And sadly, countless thousands of people do that. But what is an allegory? An allegory is this. It is gospel truth described under the imagery of events and circumstances of biblical characters.
Yes, sir.
That's what an allegory is. But never forget that even in the allegory, there are actual events and circumstances and people.
Yes, sir.
And when God dealt with these men and women and boys and girls in the Old Testament, as well as Joe, what you read, just like Joe read this morning, these are actual acts of God toward individuals upon the face of this earth.
Yes, sir.
Now, even our Lord referred to this event as an exemplar to God's judgment against rejecting him. Now, that's where I want to actually read. Although I won't say a lot about this passage, but turn to now, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 says, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered. And it's just amazing. The certain.
Yeah.
Certain. I could even preach on that, but nevertheless, the certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Notice they did not even beg a sign from him, they demanded a sign from him. This is what religious men and women desire. They demand of God some kind of sign. But it goes on, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but there is one.
Yeah.
And it's a sign.
Yes, sir.
But the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And no, I'm not going to talk about the resurrection. Why? Just because I'm that contrary and everybody else is today. That's just one of the reasons. But then look at this. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it.
Amen.
I want you to think about those words.
Our
Lord makes it quite clear, though men and women's ears, and Joe told us why, are not attuned to it, that clearly God Almighty has not intended to save everyone.
Yes, sir.
Has he?
Amen.
You can't read that in any kind of reality and think God's trying to save everyone. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Amen. Amen.
This is our Lord Jesus Christ bragging about himself. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember, God Almighty is the one being in all that there is that has the right to be self-centered.
Yes, sir.
The only being. He's the right to be self-centered. Everything is about him.
Amen. Amen.
Everything. Whether it's the salvation of a people in which we rejoice, or whether it's in the condemnation of a people in which we should rejoice.
Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
We should rejoice.
Amen.
We should rejoice. But then he says this. The queen of the south. Now who is that?
Yeah.
That's Sheba. Well, not Sheba. That wasn't her name. She was the queen of Sheba. Sheba was the place. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Amen.
Now I want to look at these events and circumstances as they are often allegorical in the scripture. What do we see in the text of 1 Kings chapter 10? What do we see here? We see a sinner seeking Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's what we see here.
Yeah.
Now, I need to express this properly, or I desire to express it properly, and I certainly need to. When you listen to everything I have to say, do not take one point and say, he said this or he said that. Take all that I have to say. Put it together. We see in the first verse and in the first part of the second verse, we see initial hearing which energizes coming. You see that? Now let's read that part. And when the queen of Sheba, what? Heard.
Yeah.
Now I do this because I'm just that contrary. I love to do it. I like to get people's jammies in a wad.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to talk about hearing.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
We talk about hearing.
Yes, sir.
Thousands of preachers talk about hearing. And we talk about means. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yes, sir.
Because God has ordained those means.
Yes, sir.
But the truth is this. Some people hear and never come.
Amen. Yeah.
And if you look at Sheba's hearing, the hearing itself, in and of itself, is not sufficient.
That's right.
One, she heard, but she didn't even hear the half of it.
That's right. Exactly.
And one, she heard, but she wasn't even in the beginning sure about what she heard. She said, I didn't believe it until what? I seen it. Right? That's what it goes on to say. And when the queen of Sheba heard. Now listen, hear you must.
Yes, sir.
Yep. Yep.
But don't rest in the fact that you simply think you've heard.
That's right.
Because even that passage we all run to, Romans 10. How shall they preach? You know, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? And the faith cometh by hearing, which it don't actually say that, but I'm not even going into it. It says faith by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But what does it say? But have they not all heard?
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of people hear.
Yes, sir.
Well, but they don't hear. They don't really hear. Well, wait a minute. They hear.
Yeah.
But they cannot come. Now, let me tell you, somebody will say, well, there he goes again. You know, I know what he is. You know, one of them hard shells. He believes in that regeneration by the sovereign Spirit of God, and then the gospel does something later for someone. Yeah, that's what I am. That's what I am. But let me tell you something. Hearing is absolutely essential. But let me also say this. So is coming.
Amen.
You see, you can often tell where a man's pet peeves are because he always hammers on that pet peeve rather than looking at the whole counsel of God. It says, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon, and it wasn't just intrigue with Solomon. Look, concerning the name of the Lord. This was far more than Sheba was just, boy, there's some kind of king I've heard about, and I need to just check him out. It was not simply natural intrigue, was it? What caught her ear, Joe, was the fame of Solomon, but concerning the name of the Lord.
Amen.
The look, and when the queen of Sheba heard, what did she do? She came.
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is absolutely valid and essential. No man can preach except to be sent, and you're not going to believe unless you hear.
That's right.
But let me also tell you, you can hear all day long, but unless you come, you are lost.
That's it.
Because our Lord said, all that the Father giveth me shall hear of me. Now, is that not true?
Yes.
That's true. It's absolutely true. All that the Father gave him shall hear of him. But that's not what our Lord said.
Exactly.
He said, all that the Father giveth me, they shall come to me.
Amen.
Because if all you ever do is hear, that's all you've ever done was heard. Somebody says you're disagreeing with Joe. Oh no, I'm not disagreeing with Joe. As a matter of fact, Joe and I are saying the exact same thing this morning.
Yes, sir.
But where did she come? She came to where Solomon was.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
Now, is it not a valid illustration? Our Lord even illustrated. He said, I'm the good shepherd.
Amen.
Didn't he? And he talked about him being the shepherd, and when a sheep is lost, he goes into the wilderness and he finds it.
Yes, sir.
And he puts it on his shoulders and he brings it all the way home. Is that true?
Amen.
Exactly is true.
Amen.
It's exactly true. But at the same time, the sheep come to him.
Amen.
Both of these are true.
Exactly.
I don't understand it. Yeah, because you haven't went through it yet.
Exactly.
That's why you don't understand it. You haven't been there yet. She came to Jerusalem. Now think about this. God will send someone to where the sinner is, and the hearing sinner then comes to Christ where he is. Isn't that the way it works?
Yes, sir.
Romans chapter 10, I mentioned it. Now let's look at what it actually says, and let's look at all that it says. And of course, this verse is very familiar now and everywhere, just about probably. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mentioned this last Sunday.
Amen.
How then shall they call on him of whom they not believe? And how shall they believe in him of whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And preachers love talking about preaching and sending.
Yes, sir.
Don't they?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Grace preachers, we love to talk about preaching and being sent to do it.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, that's the only kind there is.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But what does it first say? How shall they call on him? Mm-hmm. You can hear all day long by a sent man, and you can hear the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
But unless you call,
yeah,
you're stopped in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not criticizing anyone. I'm pointing out, thus saith the Lord, and all that the Lord said.
That's it.
Boy, you're going to have to hear the gospel. Yeah, you're blessed well right. You're going to have to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
God's going to send someone with that message to where you are, as you are. And you will hear that message.
Yes,
but you will also, if you're one of God's, you will come to Christ.
Amen.
Or you're not one of Christ.
Amen.
Now look. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How they should believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
Now I'm just going to stop there because I've mentioned about there is hearing, and hearing you must.
Yes, sir.
But just hearing itself is not enough.
Exactly.
It's not enough. Because what is Paul talking about? He's talking about physically hearing. Somebody says, well, he means spiritual hearing. No, he means physical hearing.
That's what he's talking about.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Because it says their sound
went
out into all the earth. It's all about the sound. What is the key here? The key here is the message.
Yes.
How beautiful are the feet that are sent, that preach what? This gospel. And if you go back then and look at it, you'll find it in Isaiah 52, verse 7 and 8. This message is summed up this way. That announces to God's people what? Thy God reigneth.
Amen.
Thousands will hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ this morning.
Yes, sir.
And it's a valid truth, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Apart from that resurrection, there is no hope.
That's it.
And you deny the resurrection, you've denied the gospel.
Amen.
Correct?
Yeah.
But what most people will not hear today and any other day is thy God reigneth.
Amen.
You see, Jesus, no, he's not in the tomb.
Exactly.
But he's also not on the cross now.
That's right.
He is on the throne.
Amen.
And when you come to Christ, you will not come to him on the cross.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Millions have come to him on the cross. And they have no idea what the cross is.
Exactly.
But you cannot come to him on the throne without finding out what it means to be on the throne. She came. She became what? When she heard. Yes, she heard.
Yeah.
But she came what? To where Solomon was. And where was Solomon? In Jerusalem.
Yes, sir.
Christ has stooped, but stooped only once. Christ has condescended, but condescended only once.
Amen.
He is now seated on the throne. And you will hear the message of him reigning on the throne, or you don't have any idea about who he is as king.
Amen.
No idea. So we see initial hearing, which energizes what? Coming. It's like this. She couldn't help but come.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been there?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you initially hear, but you hear it in such a way that it's what is, boy, I'm glad I heard that. I'm just happy where I'm at. If you're happy where you're at, you ain't really heard.
Exactly.
You ain't heard. She got up from where she was. Now, yes, I won't even deal with this in detail. She had to go back to where she was. Why? Because that's where she lives. And God will remind you, and he will remind me, what we are just about every day of your life where you really live.
Yeah.
She didn't live in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
She lived in Sheba.
Right.
What most think is now modern day Yemen. Think about living there, would you?
Yeah.
You remember Sheba, the area? They're called the Sabaeans. You remember what they did, don't you? Now, I'm not saying she was the queen when the Sabaeans did it. You remember what they did to Job's folks? They were the ones that come in and murdered him.
Yeah.
You see, we all are sinners. But it's only sinners who've come to Christ on the throne that are saved sinners.
Amen.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. True seeking, number two. True seeking sinners do not avoid profound truth. She came to what? Where he was. She heard. She came. She came to where he was, from where she was.
Yes, sir.
But she came to what? Prove him? With hard questions.
Yes, sir.
If you want to avoid the hard questions, you've never really even heard of Solomon.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to Solomon and not wanting to see the depth of Solomon?
Exactly.
You hear of the glory and the majesty and the wisdom of this man, but when you get there, you want to talk about how, as Earl, you say, how many angels can sit on the head of a pin?
Exactly.
Well, is once saved or always once saved, always saved? Is that true or not? If you ever see him on the throne, once saved, always saved, will never be a bother to you again.
That's exactly right.
Hard questions. In other words, profound truth. That's what it's talking about. She wasn't worried about calculus, Joe.
Yeah, exactly.
She wasn't worried about calculus. She worried about how you take one child and split it in two.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Solomon really didn't mean that. Guess what would have happened had it been demanded?
Yeah.
You think Solomon's going to back up on his word? Oh, better be careful. I've accused of flaming the fires of hell with babies here for a long. And that's happened too. Profound truth. In other words, what is profound truth? The scripture gives us an actual, not illustration, an account of this where people said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?
Amen.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's recorded in John chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
What was the hard saying? One, you and I are absolutely unable to come to Christ.
Amen.
Unless God Almighty first does something to us.
Amen.
You know what it says?
Yeah.
No man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him. God doesn't just teach us that we're bad. He teaches us that we're absolutely corrupt and that we're totally unable toward anything that honors God.
Yes, sir.
By nature.
Yeah.
I can't help this, Joe. Even the spit of Christ is better than the glorious perfume of this world's gospel.
Amen.
Yeah. Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Isn't it? You see, when a man, or a woman for that matter, tells someone the truth, it may be hard. It may be difficult. But if they've truly heard of Solomon and has come all the way to Jerusalem, David, to see Solomon, they want to prove him with hard questions. Answer this for me. What's another hard one he brought out? In that same chapter, John 6, God's absolute sovereignty. God will do with me what he will. That's what he teaches, doesn't he? God will do with me what he will. And the absolute, and here's another hard thing, the absolute necessity of what? Partaking of Christ. He said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You will feast upon me or you've never eaten.
That's it.
True seeking sinners don't avoid the profound truth of Scripture. They want it all laid out there, David.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
God, tell me about these things. And you know what? Sometimes there are no answers for those things.
Yeah.
Just the profound truth itself.
Yeah. You're right.
You see, what God does is teach us two basic things of which we pray God never get over. One, how bad I am.
Amen.
No matter how good I become. How bad I am. And then where he is. That's on the throne.
Yes, sir.
He's on the throne. Thirdly, let me move along. Seeking sinners are consumed by. They are overwhelmed with the person and work of Christ as they see it and when they begin to see it for themselves. Yeah, you're going to have to be told. Yes, you must. It's a part of God's ordained way. We like to use the word means, and that's good. It's an appropriate phrase. But this is what God's ordained, to hear it.
Yes, sir.
But if you really hear it, you're going to run to him.
Amen.
And yeah. I'm not even going to deal with that. You take about everything you've got with you, too.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What is the, we know that song, and I have a little adversity to it, but not because the song is wrong, but because I used to hear it in religion so much, just as I am.
Yeah.
That's how you come
exactly
to Solomon on the throne.
Yeah.
Just as you are.
That's it.
Seeking sinners are consumed by, they are overwhelmed with the personal work of Christ when they see him, when they experience him for themselves. Look at it, verse 4. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, that's his person.
Yeah.
And the house that he built. What's that?
Yeah.
His work.
Yeah.
Do you see it? Right there it is in type.
Yeah.
There it is in allegory. She had seen what? She'd seen him and what he'd done.
Yes, sir.
The question is, have I ever seen him? And
yes, sir,
what he's done.
Amen.
Or put another way, have I ever seen what he's done along with who he is? You see that?
Yes, sir.
Mason, just about anybody. There were some magnificent things built back then.
Yeah.
Weren't there?
Mm-hmm.
The pyramids?
Yep.
Men still slobbering all over them, and they're nothing but a bunch of rocks in the dust now.
Exactly.
Everything that was in them is gone now.
Yep.
Just a bunch of rocks in the dust.
Yep.
Of course, now there's a big city encroaching. They never show you the pictures with the, what is it, the whole big city right behind it. They never show you that. You think you're out in the desert, this desert? got to ride a camel to get there. No, you ride your Mercedes-Benz up to the parking lot, and then you walk over to where it's at.
That's right. Yeah.
You think I'm kidding you?
No.
Look at the real pictures.
Yep.
They always take it at an angle. You don't see the city behind it.
Exactly.
That's not even what I was going to plan on preaching about, was it? Let me read on. Look, when Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built, what, in the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away, as we say.
Yes, sir.
She's overwhelmed by it. Let me tell you, if you haven't been overwhelmed by God Solomon, you've never came to meet God Solomon. That's just right.
Yeah, it's it.
He's not just something you show up for one day like you do for a 2-minute movie and say, whoa, that was great.
Yeah.
And then you go away wondering why you paid so much for the popcorn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I almost did that when I went to see Noah. Don't waste your money.
Uh-huh.
But me and Penny were righteous. We got a gift card and didn't have to pay for it. Huh? Thought you had me, didn't you?
Yeah.
No, we had to pay for the popcorn. That costs more than the tickets would have.
Yes.
A little levity does sometimes help. It helps me. There was no more spirit in her. Don't you see that? You see, when you see Christ for who he really is, all this other crap don't matter.
Exactly.
Even if it's your own life and breath.
Yeah, you're right.
If you've really seen him for who he is, if you see his wisdom and the house that he built,
Everything
else pales. Even your own life.
Amen.
It pales. Now, do we often still grasp after that life? Yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Come on, let's be honest. We still see the book we love and the car we like, and we do. But you know what? Sometimes God will even break our fingers to make us let go of it.
Yeah. You're right.
Won't he? Why? Because once you've seen him, there is nothing else that really compares.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at one more verse here. Look. And what did she say? Verse 9, let me jump ahead. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee. Now, how long can we preach on that?
Yeah.
This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What? Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. Look, to set thee on the throne.
Yeah.
You see that? Joe said it. People talk about make Jesus your Lord. You can't do it. You can't make him anything. He is who he is.
Amen.
You just come to him and begin to discover who he is. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Why? Because the Lord loved Israel forever. Now, you understand how amazing of a statement that is? You remember him in the wilderness? Huh? Do you? You remember even Moses at the rock the second time?
Exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
Remember David on the throne in Jerusalem and Bathsheba over on the top of her house?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Huh? Now, folks, this is Israel as well.
Yes, sir.
Is it not?
Yes, sir.
Look at me.
Exactly.
Look at me. Because the Lord, why is Christ on the throne? He's already on the throne. He's always been on the throne. He's eternal God. He left the throne.
That's right.
Did he not?
Yeah.
When in his condescension, he left the throne. He didn't leave it behind.
Exactly.
He left the throne. Why? Because he loved Israel forever.
Amen.
You see it? Therefore, beloved, therefore made he thee king to do judgment and justice. No seeking sinners are consumed by and overwhelmed with the person and work of Christ when they see it for themselves.
Yeah.
The reason most people have got to still hang on to everything else is because they've never really met Solomon personally.
That's it.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm saved. I made my decision. I heard free grace and I was baptized. Some of you have been there, haven't you? You heard free grace and was baptized, but then years later, maybe, all of a sudden you realize you never really even heard who Solomon was to start with.
Exactly.
You never came to him.
Yeah.
Let me move along. Think about this. This seeing here, she's seen what she's seen. She's seen it, right?
Yeah.
Is that not a valid thing?
Yeah.
No, we can't see it with these, right? She did. She's seen. But that, remember, a greater than Solomon is here. We're not talking about Solomon himself. We're talking about Solomon's greater son. We're talking about Christ. Yeah. This seeing is not new. Our Lord said, Abraham, rejoice. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. What? He saw it.
Amen.
And was glad.
Amen.
And we said, what's that mean? It means exactly what it says it means. Abraham knew there's one coming that's greater than all of us. They looked for it. They looked for the Messiah. Even Eve said, I have gotten another man. A substitute. That's what the word means. I've gotten another man from the Lord. Why? Because he told her there is he that's coming, a male child that's coming that will, what? Crush the serpent's head.
Amen.
The scene's not new. Abraham saw his day. Listen, even seeing precedes knowing.
Yeah.
I want you to think about this for a minute. Men love to talk about, well, how much do you got to know? You don't know nothing when you start out.
Exactly.
And even when you hear, you find out just like Sheba, the queen of Sheba did, when she got there, the half wasn't told me.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Was she criticizing the gospel preacher's message?
No.
No, but see, I have been trying to preach for about 29 years now, and I ain't even scratched the surface.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
There's things probably here, Joe, that I don't even know that I don't know.
Exactly.
You know? Guaranteed. Let alone the things I'm probably wrong about.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
You're right.
She said the half wasn't told me. No, this even seeing precedes knowing. Because look at it. You go back to it. I'm not going to turn to it. John 9, verses 24 and 25. You remember that blind man that Christ healed?
Yes, sir.
And then Christ left him.
Yep.
That's what it says. Yep. He healed his blindness, and then he walked away. Well, I thought Jesus was supposed to stay right there holding my hand all the way, Joe. Remember, even when I was going through all them tough times, one set of footprints in the sand. And I thought, God, ain't that what it says? God, I thought you was going to be with me. Well, I was carrying you. And it's my footprint, you see. Ain't that just lovely?
Yeah.
You don't get it. Sometimes God Almighty will leave you alone just to teach you what you still are.
Yes, sir.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. But think about it, that man was healed. And what happened when he began to see? All hell broke loose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
His family turned on him, his mom and dad. Yeah. He's old enough, ask him. We're not getting in the middle of this.
That's exactly
right. Right?
Yeah.
The Pharisees said, well, who do you think you are? This man, he's a sinner. He's a sinner. And what did he say? Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But what I know is this. I once was blind. Now, I'm going to ad-lib here, but bless God, I see now.
Amen.
But you know what? Christ will not leave you there ignorant.
Exactly.
Christ then came back. Once he'd heard he'd been kicked out of the synagogue,
yes.
It says he came and found him and said, do you believe on the Son of, is this the Son of Man? Son of God, I can't remember what he said, but do you believe?
Yeah.
And he said, well, Lord, I don't know who he is. He says, it's the one you're looking at.
That's right.
It's he who's talking to you. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
You see, what I'm trying to say is you don't just hear.
Yeah.
You've got to come and you got to experience.
Yes, sir.
Because you know, I'm afraid there's a lot of people that have come. But sadly, for whatever reason, we know some of the reasons, but sadly, for whatever the reason, they see all the splendor of Solomon and all the things of the temple, and guess what? They still don't get it.
Yeah.
Do they?
Yeah,
they right. Still don't get it. How many thousands of people you think went to Jerusalem but did not experience it like the Queen of Sheba did?
Yeah.
Huh?
You're right.
But not only that. Number four. Seeking sinners are not only consumed by, overwhelmed by Christ's person and work. But listen to me now. Seeking sinners are consumed by and are overwhelmed by the inner spirit. I said the inner spirit of Christ's people as well. Now look at it. Verse 8. This amazed her. Now look. Happy are thy men. Think of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Happy are these thy what?
Yeah.
Now let's say it like it really was.
Yeah.
Slaves.
That's it.
Right?
Yes, sir.
They're happy. Mm-hmm. Do you see that? Which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. They're happy about it. Exactly. Now let me tell you something. Let's just get real life here. You are going to be totally, if you've experienced spiritually what the Queen of Sheba experienced physically, if that's happened to you, you are going to be constantly and almost always totally disgusted with and ashamed by yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you ain't really met Solomon on the throne yet.
That's true.
But you know what? You're going to be amazed at the happiness with which God's people serve Him.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
That's
not
it.
How great they are. She didn't say, boy, what a faithful crowd you got. No, they're just happy.
Yeah.
You see, here's the open. If you'd rather be somewhere else, bless God, go ahead and get out there and be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well, because you're playing games.
Yes, sir.
It's just a fact. Happy. I remember when I was in religion, it's like, oh, I got to go to church today.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to have the excuse, Mom and Daddy made me go.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got older and I felt guilty and I thought I had to go. But I was constantly unhappy, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing it because I thought if I don't, guess what's going to happen to me?
Exactly.
I'm going to go to hell.
Yeah.
That's a valid fear.
Yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
But let me also say this. If you're standing before a king, what is the main thing to fear?
Yeah.
The king.
There you go. That's it.
The king.
Yeah.
Well, that means we're supposed to highly reverence God. No, it means you best bless your heart. You best be afraid of God.
That's exactly right.
And that's why the scripture says there's no, everybody respects God.
Yeah.
Well, blankety blank. Whoops, sorry, I said that. I used the Lord's name in vain. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
No. You're afraid of God.
Yeah.
The word is in the Greek is phobia.
Yeah.
Not respect, not reverence, phobia, afraid of God. Why? He's the king. And he'll do with me whatever he will.
Yeah.
Isn't that what Christ said of himself?
Mm-hmm.
I do with my own what I will. And he's not even talking about just the elect there.
Yeah.
He talked about the whole blessed universe, every creature in it. Every speck of dust, every insect, everything.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us, when you walk, we was over to see my grandpa yesterday, and he talked to me, and this is morbid, but there's this ring of wiggling maggots or something that was on his porch. And guess what did he do? Go out there and caress it and love on it? What do you think he did? He said, I got out the bug spray and I killed it.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you've seen this circle of maggots on your front porch, you think you said, well, I'm going to put a shrine up to that.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to keep that going as long as I can. You're going to go out there and crush it with everything you are. And the scripture calls us what?
Maggots.
Maggots.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? The inner spirit. Why are they happy? Why are God's people happy? Because God chose them and brought them to himself. You see, the Queen of Sheba didn't really realize it, but there was something far beyond her that made her intrigued and travel all the way from Sheba all the way to Jerusalem. She didn't know it, but she was resting on the shoulders of the shepherd.
Exactly.
See, all the time we're doing this coming to Christ,
yeah.
We don't realize he's got us. No, he's not holding us like that. No, he's got us safely held. You know how the shepherd carries the sheep?
Yeah.
Legs here and got them bound. Why? Why? Because we're His. He owns us. God brought us. He chose us and brought us. Why are we happy? Because God Almighty is merciful and forgiving.
Amen.
Oh, God. You get that? He's forgiving. Boy, after God saves you and you've been saved for 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 25, 30 years, feel like you got a handle on it. Don't you? Huh? Out here.
Yeah.
Out here we do.
Yeah.
But in here, we know we are nothing more than dead men's bones.
Yeah.
But you know what? I am not sad to serve my Lord.
Exactly.
I'm ashamed of myself when I don't.
Amen.
You understand the difference? That's the difference between having happy men and happy servants and people who are just under the boot.
Yeah.
Now listen, we talk a whole lot. It hit me the other day when Mike was speaking. I talk a lot, and probably too much on the one thing about God Almighty bringing us down. You know that? Mm-hmm. Bringing us down to the dust, Ellen. Bringing us down. And it's a valid point. But you know one thing I realize I've left out quite a bit at times. Mike said this. He also woos you and wins your heart.
Amen.
You don't serve just because he's got his boot on you.
That's right.
No, you're a beggar on a dung heap. Now, you know what that is, don't you?
Yeah.
You're on a crap pile.
Yeah.
And it says, he lifteth up the beggar off of the dung heap and sets him among princes and kings.
Yes,
now, which one do you like better?
Yeah.
Now, you know, automatically, who would like the crap heap?
Exactly.
But we do by nature.
And
we'd stay there and wallow in it had God Almighty not lifted us up.
Yeah.
Like this, Job, bring us to himself. And all the time we're doing this.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're running.
Yeah.
Ain't you? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're putting forth the effort, but the only reason you can run anywhere is because God Almighty's got you.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of, I think it was Bruce Crabtree told the illustration. I know I won't be able to tell it as well as he did, but a fellow picked up a hitchhiker and he had one of these great big packs on his back. So he picked up the guy and thought we ought to give him a little hand. So the guy gets in, he starts riding, but still got that pack on his back. One of them great old big backpacks. And the guy said, the guy that picked him up, the driver said, well, won't you just take that pack off and throw it in the back seat? And the man looked at him and said, well, now you're good enough to pick me up. I'll carry my own pack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it. Exactly right.
You're good enough to pick me up. You want to carry your own pack? You're in the car.
Exactly.
Take that blessed thing off and lay it down.
Exactly.
And let me tell you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. That's what you got to do about your miserable failings.
Yes,
and I'm talking
sir.
To me now.
Yeah.
Lay them down.
Yeah.
Don't carry that burden around. He's forgiving. In other words, as Paul put it in Philippians 3, verses 1 through 3, I got to move on. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Not in themselves. He said, we're the circumcision that rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Just because, is it because we like the ostrich, we turn a blind eye, or we're like thought, we stick our head down the sand and deny it? Because we know what it really is.
Yes, sir.
You see, Christians are not a better people. They're just the saved people.
Amen.
There are people who are now enamored with God's greater son, God's greater king, Solomon's greater son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, last one, and I'm going to read it, verses 10 and 13. Look at that. I could go in and give you, they talk like this was a massive amount of stuff.
Yeah.
Verses 10 through 13. And there's number 5. Think about this. Seeking sinners desire to honor Christ.
Yes, sir. Yes,
Queen of Sheba, even just having heard, when she got there, she realized, I didn't even hear the half of it.
That's right.
The half wasn't told me. But even then, Joe, even before she left Sheba, she had a great train of all these magnificent things.
Yeah.
Now, here's something for you. Oh, I know, we love to talk about, I believe in salvation by grace, not of works. That's exactly right, and that's valid, and we'd best not ever forget it. But also remember, he saved us. He created us in Christ Jesus. And what does it say? What's them next two words? Unto. Wait a minute. Three words. I'm sorry. Unto good works.
Amen.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's people seek to honor Christ. They even offer sacrifice. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We still do. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, we are to make our corporal beings the sacrifice unto God.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
My very body is to be a sacrifice unto God. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Well, I'll do what I want to with it. Only because you don't know you're bought with a price.
Yeah.
When you begin to realize you bought with a price, you're saying to yourself every time you think you own yourself.
You're right.
I'm going to tell you this. A few years ago, even after God Almighty saved me, David, I got a tattoo on my arm. Why? Because I got liberty in Christ, don't you know? Come on now, don't you? God's going to damn me, David, because of that? No. But you know what? Every day I see it now. You know what I am? I am ashamed of myself. Yeah, that's right. I'm reminded of my own me. I didn't even have the gall to put Jesus Christ is absolutely sovereign right across my chest. Why don't we do that?
There you go.
Why not? Huh? God hates Esau right here across the back. Why not? Yeah, it's true. No, we don't pick stuff like that, do we? Your bodies, he says, a living sacrifice. But secondly, the sacrifice of supporting the gospel ministry. Yeah, look at it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. I know no other way to state it other than the way Paul stated it. Paul put it this way. If you've benefited from my spiritual things, is it wrong for me to benefit from your what? Your carnal things. That's what it says. But even more than that, it says there's another sacrifice. The sacrifice of the praise of our lips. And I read that, and you know, it didn't dawn on me until just a few months ago what that really means. How a sacrifice of praise of my lips? Why? Because I want so much to talk about me. And it takes a sacrifice to say, no, it ain't about me.
Yeah.
It's about him.
Amen.
Huh? Now, come on. You know, you love. We even love, oh, here's what God done for me.
Yeah.
Huh? No, just talk about God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just talk about, because let me tell you, there's some people you'll talk to about what God's done for you. He's never going to do that for them.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Oftentimes we give the wrong impression. I mean, I think people ought to know there's some people out there God's going to damn.
Exactly.
There's some people out there that are under the wrath and judgment of God.
Yes, sir.
You best fear Him. That's why the songwriter says, amazing grace, doesn't it? Was grace that taught my heart to what? What did grace first teach you to do?
Yeah.
To fear God.
Amen.
Why? Because grace is particular. It's absolutely sovereign. God don't owe it to me. What is the summary of all this? What will the Queen of Sheba say about me? Think about that. Huh? There's a day coming. What's the Queen of Sheba going to say about you?
Exactly.
Now, I don't think, well, you turn to, and remember this, 1 Kings 10, the Queen of Sheba was, it was about the house of the Lord. That's what called her whole thing, wasn't it? It was far more than just physical intrigue of Solomon's money and power and all of that. But what did he say? The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. Would she say that about me?
That's it.
That's scary, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
It's frightening, isn't it? I mean, I look at myself and I think, but you know, but look at what happened to me. Look what happened to me. But what if I'm deceived?
Yeah.
What if I'm deceived? David, what if I don't really have any root? What if all this is just fluff? What if I'm an apostate?
Yeah.
What if I abandon Christ tomorrow forever? What if? What if? The only thing is to believe God. That's all I got. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this, Roy Jr. God, if you don't save me in Christ, I will not be saved.
Amen. Yeah,
You may say it a lot of different ways. You may say it far more eloquently. You may even say it far more heartfelt than I just did. But it's, God, if you don't save me, I deserve to be damned forever. Here's the last one. Here's the last, the second part of this, this conclusion here. Have I heard in the same fashion that the Queen of Sheba did? And we talk all day about hearing. But when she heard, what happened? Things began to change, didn't it? Didn't it? Well, I've heard, and I believe what y'all believe. That don't cut it. You will meet God Solomon personally. Personally. Face to face, eye to eye, by faith. Or you've never met him.
Exactly.
You've never met him. Father, these things are so profound, far beyond such lips of clay, such earthen pots. But yet, Lord, we know that you put these things in earthen pots, that the power and the excellency may be of you, not of us. Lord, teach us these things and comfort us with them. Make us, Lord, happy as thy people, as thy servants. I ask it in Christ's name.